About 2 weeks ago, we were talking about border crossing security, how it backs up traffic and all that kind of stuff, and if there could just be some way to move freight from one side of the border to the other without it having to be scanned and checked out, that would be a pretty cool thing. So, of course, like everything else, there's always a specialist out there, usually nearby, and we happen to have just that guy with us. Steve Roop joins us this morning, Dr. Steve Roop. Steve, how are you this morning?
Very well, thank you. Good. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Tell me your title so that we can know exactly what this is all about.
Well, I'm a senior research scientist at the Texas A&M Transportation Institute here at in College Station.
And what we've been talking about, as I said, was just the idea of if there was some way that we could actually move freight, and actually, you've been doing this for almost 10 years now, an idea called freight shuttle?
Right, Scott. It became apparent to me a decade or more ago that we have a real problem in transportation, and one of the biggest issues that I think the listening audience will identify with is 18-wheelers. They just seem to have exploded in numbers on our highways and have created a host of problems to go along with the increase in numbers. So as I was undertaking various research assignments here at the Research Institute, we came up with an idea to automate the movement of trailers or containers and do it in a system that was completely independent of the highway system.
So we're talking about something that would be next to the road, on top of the road, over the road. How would you do this in the freight shuttle idea?
We've looked at most all the options, and I think the one that we have settled on is to build an elevated guideway, either in the median or on the shoulder of a highway system, and add value to the existing public asset by putting more infrastructure out there, with the twist that it's a privately financed option to the normal trucking operations.
Okay, now the governor tried to talk about this Trans-Texas corridor because there were going to be some private investors there, and he got a lot of pushback. Are you finding that too?
No, as a matter of fact, we're not. I think one of the problems with the Trans-Texas corridor was they were talking about acquiring massive amounts of new infrastructure, and that, of course, would come from landowners, farmers, ranchers. That was the nature of the pushback, I think, there. With the freight shuttle system, we're talking about using the existing highway footprint. An interstate, for example, has a certain amount of right-of-way that's already dedicated to transportation. It's already owned by the public sector. And since our system's elevated, we would just co-locate there, build our system on columns that are 5 feet in diameter, and go high enough to not interfere with the rest of the existing operations.
We're talking to Dr. Steve Roop, who's a researcher who's put together this idea called freight shuttle that would move freight, at least in the case that would impact Texans, across the international border. But I guess this is something that could be used any place.
We see it in two places. There are two kinds of congestion. One is corridor congestion, like we see on I-35 or any major freight thoroughfare. The other kind of congestion that we're addressing with the freight shuttle, and you identified it earlier in your remarks, would be at the border or at a maritime port. Both of those have similar congestion kinds of issues. So we're really kind of honing our commercial operation to address those two kinds of issues.
So is this kind of one more step to the containerization that we've seen, where it goes from a ship to the back of a truck or a train or something like that?
Absolutely. What makes the freight shuttle work is it would be part of that what's called intermodal supply chain, where we would be just another step in the delivery of merchandise ultimately to the store shelves in most cases. So we fit right in with trucks, trains, and ships as just a 21st century option. It's all electric, zero emission, I think we'll enhance the supply chain and help reduce or contain costs.
Now, ideally, how many containers would you have to, I guess I'll call it a train for lack of a better word?
Well, we don't build a train. With the freight shuttle, we treat it just like the trucking industry does. We have one vehicle for one trailer or one container. So we don't build trains at all. They're autonomous, independent units. So as soon as it's loaded in one of our terminals, it's out the gate and headed to its destination.
Okay, so we're talking about an elevated roadway, if you will, that will take it from point A to point B. How long a distance are you looking to move these in the shuttle?
We think we're feasible in a corridor application up to 400 or 500 miles. And as a matter of fact, we've got a proposal with the Texas Department of Transportation that's been provisionally accepted that would allow us to build a 250-mile system on I-35 between Dallas and San Antonio.
Wow.
It's a little ambitious for our first project, so we're looking at border locations, which could be done with a much shorter system.
Dr. Roop, this is Patrick Zeinert. One of the things that we brought up when we were talking about it initially was safety and security. What would this system do? How would that allow us to scan better the incoming freight?
Well, two parts to your question. One is safety, and because this would be an off-road, completely self-contained system with all kinds of safety provisions built in, it would improve safety on the highway, definitely. In terms of security scanning, one of the issues that you find in the border environment is the sheer number of trucks and the ability to use high-energy X-rays on trailers when there is a driver present. Well, we take the driver out of the equation. We take the truck cab out of the equation of the tractor unit. So all we're focusing on with the freight shuttle is the trailer. We'd be able to use high-energy equipment, put a stationary X-ray in place, and run freight shuttles through a facility designed to X-ray 100% of the shipments moving both north and south.
What speed would it run at?
Well, in the scanning station, we're looking at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Once it hits our main guideway, we're talking about two different speeds. In the cross-border application, 30 miles an hour is perfectly sufficient. Over a 10-mile system, that's a 20-minute transit time from point A to point B. On a corridor like I-35, we're looking at speeds on the order of 60, 65 miles an hour.
And have you got a cost per mile is what it's going to take to build this elevated roadway?
Yeah, we do. It looks to be in the $10 to $12 million range right now. Those prices are always going up. So we're looking at ways to build our system more efficiently. That's pretty comparable, however, to what you would pay for a lane of highway on the ground. One of the other strong points about an elevated system is it's very stable, and it would be an asset that would be productive for 50 to 75 years.
Now, what is the contact point on the surface? Is that what kind of tires or wheels or how are you going to move this thing?
It is a steel-wheeled machine that operates on a steel running surface, not unlike railroads. And we do that to reduce the rolling resistance and make it inexpensive to move on a per-mile basis. We think, based on our analysis to date, that we can move a fully loaded trailer or container for under 10 cents a mile in electricity. That's about a seventh of what it costs to move with diesel on a rubber tire vehicle on a traditional roadway. So we're using steel on steel to help address that cost issue. And as a privately financed system, we have to be economical in the way we go about things.
Where do you think you are on the timeline?
We're building the prototype now. It's been a long time coming, but we have five or six blue ribbon engineering companies from around the country building components, and we're looking at a fourth quarter 2014 demonstration of a full-scale working system.
And where will that take place?
My goal is to have it take place in Brazos County, Texas, close to home. It was created here at Texas A&M University, and I think demonstrating it here would be fitting.
Yep, I think pretty exciting news. Hey, that's great. That's Dr. Steve Roop. He is the Texas Transportation Institute Assistant Agency Director, and he's the guy who's in charge of freight shuttle. You got a little video of it, too, right?
We do. There's a website that interested individuals could look at. It's www.freightshuttle.com.
All right. We'll look forward to talking to you again, Steve.
I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thanks.